In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Christ is risen. Today in the Orthodox Church, we hear two stories of resurrection. There are certain days within the liturgical life of the Church when the readings from both the Epistle and the Gospel match up in complete harmony, and today is one of those days. In the Epistle reading from Acts, we hear about a certain disciple named Tabitha, who despite all of her good works and acts of charity, grows ill and dies. In addition, in the Gospel of John today, we read about the paralytic who lay by the pool, which in Hebrew is called Bethesda. As the scriptures tell us, the paralytic had been infirm for 38 years of his life. There is no explanation for his paralysis, yet there he lay for 38 years, with no one helping him into the healing waters that were just out of reach. To the world around him, the paralytic was as good as dead, just like Tabitha, with no one to help him and no one to care for him. Knowing this, we can see how these two stories align. A woman full of virtues lies dead, and a man, perhaps through no fault of his own, lies paralyzed. And yet they are about to experience their own resurrections, which will change their lives forever. First, when the Apostle Peter hears that Tabitha is dead, he rushes to the house where she reposed, a house filled with widows. The scriptures paint a very vivid scene. First, Peter rushing to Tabitha in a similar way in which he rushed to the tomb of Christ. As Peter enters, the book of Acts tells us that the widows in the house stood with Peter, showing him all the garments that Tabitha had made while she was still alive, showing Peter all of the virtuous deeds this woman had done. You see, St. Tabitha loved to sew garments, and she often gave what she made to the poor and needy. In a way, it's as if the other widows are asking Peter, look at all the good things that she has done. Look at all the clothes that she has made for the needy and for the poor. How is it that God could take her from us like this? I'm sure that such sentiments and feelings have been felt by all of us at certain times in our lives. Whenever we see bad things happening to especially good people, we always seem to ask ourselves, why, Lord? Why do you allow good people to suffer? This plea is similar to the prayer of the martyrs to God in the book of Revelation, as they cry out for justice upon those who are still on the earth. The same goes for the story of the paralytic who sat near the pool at Bethesda for 38 years. This story may make some of us uncomfortable. If God is good, why was this man made to suffer in such a way for so long? Has he done anything to deserve this? The Gospels give us no easy answers. Therefore, some of us might accuse Christ actually of cruelty. Certainly we do in our daily lives. We ask him why we suffer certain things, and yet the Church does not see both of these stories as stories of suffering. If they did, they certainly wouldn't put them in this Paschal season, especially at one of the Sundays after Pascha. But if these aren't stories of suffering, then what are they about? Well, we should first know that these two stories have an inherent resurrectional quality about them, a resurrectional character about them, simply by seeing where they lie in the liturgical life of the Church. And since they lie in this resurrectional season, our ears should perk up when we hear these two stories, the first of St. Tabitha and the second of the paralytic. The case of Tabitha is relatively straightforward. Like Christ, she lay dead. Like Christ, her body was anointed, just as Christ was supposed to be anointed on the Sunday of the myrrh-bearing women. Like Christ, people wept over her. Like Christ, she was full of good deeds and works during her lifetime. But unlike Christ, she could not raise herself from the dead. Unlike Christ, although she was full of so many good deeds in her life, as Christ was, she cannot raise herself from the dead. And so St. Peter goes to her. Peter, the one we've been hearing about, the one who rushes to the empty tomb of his friend and Savior. Peter now enters the room alone, putting everyone else outside, showing us the importance of stillness and silence. And when Peter is in the room alone with the dead body, his prayer to God raises Tabitha from the dead. St. Peter, one of the disciples, perhaps one of the disciples who last week we heard, thought that what the myrrh bearers had said about the tomb was an idle tale, as the Gospels told us. So this just isn't a story about resurrection. This is a story about faith, and it's a story about the transmission of faith. Indeed, the healing of St. Tabitha is just as much a story of St. Peter's own healing, of his own maturity into his Christian faith, as it is about Tabitha rising from the dead. This is the same Peter who denied Christ three times, the same Peter who even said that even if the other disciples would fall away, that he would not, the same Peter who ran out onto the water and began to sink because of his faithlessness and fear. Again, this story is just as much about the great faith of St. Peter as anything else. And the story of the paralytic is no different. The story of the paralytic shouldn't just focus on the miraculous aspect of the story, although that is certainly the center point. A man who has been ill for 38 years has been healed. But there's another aspect to the story that connects with St. Peter, and that is the faith of the paralytic. As I said last year, if we'd been suffering for 38 years, and a man walked up to us and asked if we wished to be healed, if we wished to be made whole, we might become a little upset. But what's more, what kind of person after 38 years of suffering even believes that they can be healed? And so we can see just how great this miracle is. And we can see just how patient and long-suffering this man is. He doesn't rebuke Christ. He doesn't grow angry at him. He doesn't yell at the Son of God saying, "Of course I want to be healed." No, he shows the true inner workings of his heart. He shows a patience and a faith with Christ that could only come from someone who has been suffering for so long. And this is what Christ wished to bring out of this man, his long-suffering faith. St. Peter's faith was at first one of impulse. It was one of biting off more than he could chew spiritually. The faith of the paralytic is much different. It's one born out of total humiliation and endurance. Most of us have both of these impulses within us. Sometimes we feel like we can move mountains, and sometimes we feel like we can't even get to the Pool of Bethesda, which is only inches away from us. What we have to realize is that our faith isn't about us. It's about Christ. St. Peter didn't write himself off as irredeemable after he rejected Christ, even after he swore an oath against his Lord and Savior. Similarly, the paralytic didn't reject Christ after suffering for 38 years. The paralytic instead beheld Christ and followed him. And we know this because where does Christ find the paralytic next? He finds him in the temple, implying that he went to the temple to thank God for his healing. When something good happens to us, where do we go? Oftentimes we come to the church when something bad happens, but we should also come to the church when good happens to us as well. And we should thank God for these things in the church, in the temple. But the story of the healing of the paralytic doesn't end there. Like many of the gospel readings, we forget the ending because we don't necessarily want to remember the ending. Christ finds the man in the temple and he says, "Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." And then the gospel reading ends. "Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." That's not necessarily what we probably want to hear after we've been healed, but perhaps what it's what we need to hear. And these words are very specific. They don't mean that people who suffer are guilty of the greatest sin. That's far from the truth. And Scripture indicates that oftentimes it's the wicked upon the earth that enjoy great abundance. But what Christ is saying is that sin always kills the soul. Sin always kills the soul. And the worst thing that can befall us is the deadening of the soul and our separation from God. This, Christ says here, is worse than even what the paralytic went through for 38 years, separation from God. So like the paralytic in St. Peter, may we thank God for our own healings and wholeness. And may we thank him in our attempts to praise him and follow him and do good. St. Peter gives my favorite verse of Scripture in John 6, only one chapter after the healing of the paralytic. Here in John 6, Jesus gives his famous commandments regarding the Eucharist and how it truly is his body and his blood. After he says this, many of his disciples walk with him no more, as John 6:66 says. And here Christ turns to the 12 and asks them if they too wish to leave him. And who else but St. Peter answers, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Christ himself and his words heal us. They raise us up again like St. Tabitha. And like the paralytic, they bring us to eternal life. May we abide by Christ's words and follow them today and every day of our life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. Amen.